Morning. How many of you you know that your life has been changed through Christ? You really do, huh? How many of you know? How many of you know that it is being, you feel in the last months or year or a couple of years that your life has really has it? It has been changed. You know, it's the same question, but I'm trying to say, it really. How about you know that just by listening to God's word and coming here and fellowship, that you just know that in some way, in some measure, your life has changed. Yeah. How about have you lost a bad habit? I'm not asking you what the bad habit was, but you have lost a bad habit's gone. How about it? Anybody? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? It really is. Because of my voice, my message will be short, but Pastor Schiavelli will share the main message. But if in the speaking, if my voice gets stronger, then I'm going to keep going. But we'll see. So turn to Matthew chapter 2. I'm not going to, I'm going to try to manage it. I have bronchitis a little bit, so I know what it is. People are going to offer me vegetables and soup after the service. Medicines, herbal remedies, creams, vitamins, just piles of stuff. So it's okay. Thank you so much. The love here is amazing. It really is. I have something to say, but I think it'll take weeks for me to really say it, you know, the way I want to say it. It'll take time. And it'll come out, but it's amazing. Do we have that piece from Teddy Roosevelt? It's in that manila folder. Okay, we lost it. Okay, here it is. President Teddy Roosevelt, he believed that the American men and families should go to church. And he said, "Yes, I know all the excuses. I know that one can worship the Creator, dedicate oneself to good, living in a grove of trees, or by a running brook, or in one's own house, just as well as in church. But I also know as a matter of cold fact, the average man does not worship or dedicate himself this way. He strays away from church. If he does, he does not spend his time in good works or lofty meditation. He looks over the colored supplement of the newspaper. He may not hear a good sermon at church, but unless he's very unfortunate, he will hear a sermon by a good man who with his good wife is engaged all week long in a series of wearing humdrum and important tasks for making hard lives a little easier. He will listen to and take part in reading beautiful passages from the Bible. And if he is not familiar with the Bible, he has suffered a loss. He will probably take part in singing good hymns. He will nod and speak to good, quiet neighbors." Just do that with your neighbor. I'm going to nod and say, "You're a good neighbor." Go ahead. Right to each other. "If he goes to church, he will come away feeling a little more charitable toward all the world, even toward those excessively foolish young men who regard church going as rather a soft performance. I advocate a man's joining a church works for the sake of showing his faith by his work. The man who does not in some way act or not connect himself with some active working church misses many opportunities for helping his neighbors, therefore, incidentally, for helping himself. Many other good things. That was in a Saturday Evening Post back in the time of Teddy Roosevelt. What a beautiful thought that is. Okay, cough drop goes in. Turn to Matthew chapter 2, please. Very simple and short message, though it could be an hour long. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I want you to look up on the screen here. We have two categories of kings. Herod is one. He is the king that typifies through history insecurity, manipulation, power. He is the king who represents evil and is evil, was evil. And there are such evil kings today. They're afraid of somebody taking over their power like Assad in Syria, and we see the disaster. He is like Adolf Hitler, who ends up killing his generals off because he cannot trust them anymore. The end of his reign in the Nazi regime. He is a king that we see in the Old Testament, like such as we see with Haman as the man who demanded the slaughter of the Jewish people. And he would not rest until Mordecai would bow down and worship him. He is a king that is reigning over nations, but unfortunately, no, even they are reigning in the business world. They are reigning in the military world. They are reigning in our local shops, schools, police stations, hospitals. They are the insecure, troubled people who are afraid of losing their job or their reputation or their power. We could draw it figuratively this way. They have a lot of power, and because of their internal problem with themselves, their egomania, their narcissism, there is a poison that is at work in their life. They are troubled people, and they trouble other people. That is a general profile. We could say much about it, but I believe you understand what I'm saying. The other category are plural wise men. They are people that are starting in a small place, and because of God, God is enlarging their world, and they are blessed people. If you see if you pull the plug on the bathtub and you see the vortex and the sucking that brings down, you go down the drain. This is like Herod, King Saul in the Old Testament, Haman, and many others. And you and me, if you allow that poison that is in your essential nature of insecurity, self-preservation, hurting others, your world becomes narrow. If it is not the Holy Spirit in your life, then you'll find your world will become more and more narrow. In the story, his jealousy, his insecurity. Is there a king of the Jews? Where has he been born? When did the star show you? Where and when? two important elements for him. Where and when? If I can intersect the where and the when, maybe then I can kill him. Murder is one way of controlling your environment. Murder is one way of getting rid of your enemy. Murder is a way of eliminating your enemy, controlling your world, and hurting those that hurt you or that you are afraid of. Because of my voice, I can't say much more. But I want to say regarding the wise men, I want you to be there. I want you there. That's why you're at church today. I want you to be in that group. I want you there. But there's a warning. You can be blind. We all can be blind to our problem. Deny it. I am not jealous, but you are. I am not envious, but you are. I am sure there are people that don't go to the church because when they come, they envy the other people that are there. They are hurting people. They envy. They say, I don't want to see them. I am jealous of them. And we look around and go, what are you jealous of? You know what I mean? Right? I mean, no. It's not you and me that is a problem. It is what is in the heart. In me too, of course, in all of us. I don't want to go because I see all those young people doing so well. My son is not. And it bugs me. And I cannot handle it. I will not go. I see the cars in the parking lot. I will not go. I see the clothes that people wear. I will not go. I see the happiness that the people have. I will not go. I hear the positive words and the positive messages and the positive this and the positive that. And I am miserable inside. I cannot handle it. That's true. People are like that. I don't want you there. I don't want to be there either. I'm telling you. I am. I can't teach it just now, but I want to say you got to deal with that. You got to bring it before God. You got to endure it. You got to stay there. You got to hear it. You got to receive it. It'll change your life. You got to say, God, I am here. I just want to hear from God. And I bring it all out in the open, all my stuff. And if Herod had done that, and all of these wicked men through history, they would have saved human race from a lot of pain. God's wise men, they are amongst us and they are with us. And look at it, just in a word. What happened to them? They started just like... What was it that started in their heart? It was like looking up. It was a star, a king. Well, I could talk about it, but kings and kings, they work together, confederated, when they can benefit from each other. But what would this king give them? The birth of a king. A baby, let's write the word here. Baby means nothing to me. He has no power. What is his power? Especially in this case, when they come and they meet peasants. Well, how much money do you have? We have nothing. Where is the throne? We don't have any throne. We are the lineages of a king in Israel, David. But we are nothing. We have no throne. We have no money. We have no army. We have no building. We have no castle. We have nothing. And yet these wise men were able to go, this is beyond us. It doesn't matter. We don't need anything back. We don't need anything back. We didn't come here to get something. We came here to worship. We came into the world to be able to give. Christ came into the world to be spirit-filled and anointed so that he would be able to give. Like, is Jesus, are you jealous? What? I am so full and satisfied. I'm a giver, I'll give. Now listen. Somebody has nice clothes, nice car, nice house, nice kids, nice income, nice job, or whatever. What do you think about that? I go, wow, that's beautiful. May God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, that's beautiful. You are blessed. You are well fed. You are well taken care of. You have a great job. Your children are blessed. You are a blessed man. I am so thankful for that. May God bless you in every way. Is there jealousy? Not in this side of the diagram. Not there. It doesn't live there. Charity envies not. It isn't insecure. You might say, Pastor, I don't have a problem with jealousy. Well, then what do you have a problem with? We all have something. Covetousness. How about insecurity? Lack of an education, lack of a reputation, lack of a wife, no child, no wife, no husband. What eats away at you sometimes when you go to sleep at night? That is the thing that tears us down. Like down the drain. If it gets a hold of you and eats you up, or just is there as your way of life, your modus operandi, your way of operating. But I don't care. Let's put that away and go to these wise men. Okay, finishing. There's three, let's say three. We don't know how many. There are three gifts. There are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we say three wise kings. But it's not, there's no number in there in the scripture. There might have been two, there might have been seven. We don't know, but there were three different kinds of gifts that they gave to the babe. What else does it mean? It means when they were traveling together, maybe, it's not written, there was a spiritual unity. We are on a mission. Why are you on this trip? They could say, after traveling months together in the ancient world. Were you afraid of leaving your kingdom off to your right-hand man? Yeah, but I don't care. I left my kingdom, my right-hand man. I am trusting him or my wife. I am trusting her. And in that world of a cloak and dagger living, it was a risk to leave your kingdom, but not to these guys. I leave my place because I'm on a mission. I have something to do. I can see it's bigger than me. David, how about you? Your son has just tried to take over your kingdom, and actually he's out to kill you. David said, that is fine. I'll leave Jerusalem. They said, can we take the ark with us? No, leave the ark. If I come back, I come back. If I don't come back, I don't come back. That's God's business. You travel light on this side of the diagram. You sleep at night. You don't get troubled or worried about the same things other people do. There's something precious going on. Get your eyes on those things. Follow him with all your heart. Your life will get bigger. It's like the opposite of that. That vortex that it goes the other way. It's kind of like I'm on it. And the edge in my world is actually getting bigger because that's what love does. Love, I can't be defeated. Love, I get rejected, but in love I gain. There's a promotion, a blessing that only God can explain it. And it actually happens. And look at Christ himself. Very small, very narrow world. And yet watch him as his world takes on the amazing manifestation of our God, his God, and our God. That's the God. I have one piece I want to read and finish. It says, there was a, where this writer was writing, a prosperous mill town. Two men in the mill became jealous of each other. One man came to the top. He closed the mill to spite the other man. Hundreds were thrown out of jobs. A town fell to pieces. The community was devastated to satisfy the jealousy of one man. Satisfy? Question mark. Hardly. He will have poison in his bosom the rest of his life. Jealousy is poison. Jealousy can and does invade Christian people. A prominent evangelist was jealous of Moody, and he went out of his way to discount D.L. Moody and his work. Result, the prominent evangelist faded away. His power ebbed away. Soon he was talking hollow words. Few remember his name, while Moody lives on immortal. Jealousy may be green-eyed, but it is brown-souled, seared into brown devastation. What does it mean? Maybe you've tasted it. I have seen it in my temptations, and I say I cannot. I do not want to do evil to anybody. I want their blessing. I cannot hurt any other people. I cannot harbor it and live in it because we are called to be spirit-filled and cross-bearing and small, and the Spirit will expand our life and bless us. Remember to forgive people. Remember to give to people. Remember to live beyond. Remember to evangelize. Evangelize the wise men on the side. They're like that. Why are you going to see a baby? Because God is in it. Evangelize. Why? Because God is in it. God will save a soul. You stay home in your little world of jealousy, control, manipulation, fear. Get out. Get beyond it. Live by faith. Go by faith. Look for others by faith. Express love by faith, and you'll not be alone. The wise men will be with you, and you'll sit by the campfire and sing a song, rejoice, and be very thankful. Okay? Amen.
This on? It's on. Okay. Isn't that awesome? The thing that struck me is there's such a contrast. You know, oh, we lost it. Can that go up again? Just the contrast between what the world considers to be wise and the wisdom of God, the foolishness of man. That's Herod, and the wisdom of God. And behind the two of them, to me, it's interesting because there's a kingdom. It's like behind Nebuchadnezzar saying to the Daniel chapter 3 Hebrew boys, put an image up, and he said, you have to bow down and worship the image. Behind Nebuchadnezzar is the kingdom of darkness. Behind Nebuchadnezzar is Satan and his demons. That's right behind it. Behind Herod, there's something behind Herod. What's behind Herod is the Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down and worship me. And it's amazing in the Greek language where when Satan said that in the temptation in the wilderness, he said, put your head to the ground towards me. That's what he meant. Put your head towards the ground. And he showed him every kingdom. This is what Greek scholars have said. I've read this. He showed him every kingdom of the world from the beginning of time to the end of time in 1 second. The word was stigma that was used to puncture his mind. If you will worship, and then after you worship, you're going to serve the enemy. You're going to serve the enemy. He said to Jesus, if you'll worship and serve me. So what you worship is what you serve. But it's amazing that these three kings representing another kingdom. And I love how it kind of connects with John 4, 20 through 24. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is seeking certain types of worshipers in spirit and in truth. I believe the truth was the Old Testament verses that they knew, that they understood that Messiah would be born, the God-man would be born, and then the Spirit was the leading of the star leading them. And they came to a place of worship. And interesting that the word worship means to kiss towards. So there's an intimacy, a personal intimacy involved with worship, kissing towards God instead of kissing myself. I mean, holidays, if we're not careful, it can be just become a time of kissing myself. You know, we don't walk around doing that, do we? We don't walk around doing that, but it can be done in theory, and it can be done in practicality many times. So this is an amazing contrast here between light and darkness, between death and life, a great contrast, and the wisdom of God and God's people. And what is actually taking place out in this world? God says the wisdom of the world is foolishness to him. This is nothing more than foolishness. And so really thank God that at this time of the year and all throughout the year, we can kiss towards the sun. Psalm 2 says it, kiss the sun, lest he be angry. Kiss towards the sun. Worship God. Worship God. And I like how they worship. They worship, they open their treasures. Worship means to open your treasures. It's really something. So you have the two kingdoms there. Two kingdoms, Herod and the wise men. And the liar said, like, let me know where he is so I can come and worship him. Well, his type of worship no one wants. Come to destroy the babe. So I would like to show a picture just in closing of Pastor Jabulani. And actually, you can wave. I think they're watching from South Africa. So just wave to them. I think they're watching the 11 o'clock service from Pretoria in South Africa. Do we have that picture? Oh, yes. Okay. His wife went home to be with the Lord on Monday. Very sad, very sad day. And I talked with him today on the phone. I've been talking with him every day. And he said something amazing to me. He says, thank the church in Baltimore because we really know you are with us. We have helped them to get through the situation with prayer, with just sending Pastor Ronaldo there, Latasha there, Sophie's there, Pastor Chris Armand's there. Many people from all of Southern Africa all went. They just went there like the wise men going to this place. You know, they just went there, led by God, paid their own way and expenses. And he said to me, he said, they buried her yesterday. He said it was the saddest day of my life. I can't even think about it. He said it's so overwhelming. He said, but let me tell you something. The body of Christ has so ministered to me. He said, people around the world with emails and whatnot. And he says, pray for me. And if there's anything that you would like to do, you can contact us at the missions office. But this church has helped them immensely and has done a great, great, giving of the heart to them. And it's going to be an interesting time in the future. Pray for him. His three children, I think, are 10, 7, and 3 years old. And it's amazing. She was an amazing woman of God. She followed him. She said to him, "I'm a lawyer. You just follow God." He's pastoring two churches at the same time and was instrumental as a conference speaker in Uganda and in Southern Africa. And you've seen him here many times in Baltimore. But she just wanted him to walk with God. And she herself did women's conventions and women's seminars in different places. A remarkable woman of God. And I talked to him this morning and I said, "I have a verse I've been thinking about all night. For we have this treasure in an earthen vessel." The treasure is in an earthen vessel. And the treasure still exists. Amen? The treasure is still there, but it's in an earthen vessel. So let's pray for them right now and then just give us a short salvation call. Father, we thank you today. We pray for Pastor Jabulani, his three children, the family, the church in Pretoria, Nomapius, all that are there with them, those who are staying right through Christmas, just to be with them during this time. We pray, minister through the Holy Spirit, God. Thank you for how the body just converged and just moved towards South Africa to be there with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for you hear their prayers. Really comfort him. You said in 2 Corinthians 1:1-3 that you're the God of all comfort. You comfort us in our tribulation. Thank you, God. You comforted us by sending us the Comforter. You comforted us by sending Jesus Christ. God became a man. Thank you. The wisest decision ever made in eternity. God became a man. We pray today, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, simply say, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, or on the internet, "Jesus, save me. Come into my life. May this Christmas time be very unique and special to me. I want to be born again, born of the Spirit. I believe in you today and I receive you as my personal Savior." If that's your prayer this morning, or wherever you are hearing this, just put your hand up. "Jesus, save me today. Save me. There's no other way. It's not religion. It's not tradition. It's not works. It's not rituals. It's not keeping the law. It's receiving he who is the gift of life himself." Just lift your hand and say, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me." So we thank you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you that these men came to worship and they opened their treasures. Thank you. Thank you, God, that wise men still seek him. In Jesus' name, amen.